Hey there, special educator. Before we dive into today's episode, I have something exciting to share with you. If you've ever struggled with writing impact statements for your IEPs, and let's be honest here, what special educator hasn't found themselves at some point staring at a blank box and a blinking cursor wondering what in the world to type? My free guide is just what you need to get those brain juices flowing. Introducing Impact Statement Mastery, your step-by-step guide to writing personalized IEPs. This free guide is designed to help you craft impactful, personalized statements with ease. You'll get expert tips and strategies, easy-to-follow formats, and real-life examples that bring theory to life. It's absolutely free and a must-have for every special education teacher and related service provider. To get your copy, just visit www.spedprepacademy.com/impactstatements or check the link in the episode description. Now let's get started with today's episode.
You're listening to the Sped Prep Academy podcast. Your host, Jennifer Hofferberg, is an award-winning veteran special educator who shares her experience, knowledge, and passion to help other special educators survive and thrive in this profession. Join her and other guests as they share tips and tricks of the trade for the ever-crazy, completely overwhelming, laugh-so-you-don't-cry profession of being a special education teacher.
Well, hey there, and welcome back to another episode of the Sped Prep Academy podcast. Today, I want to chat with you about something that is coming up here pretty quickly in the world of education and typically has a greater level of impact on our students than general education students, and that is the super fun time of state assessments. I can literally remember it like it was yesterday. I was in third grade. My classmates and I were taken as an entire grade level across the street to the cafeteria. We were instructed to sit with two chairs between each of us and to remain quiet. At each chair, there was a booklet with two brand new, freshly sharpened pencils. And not just any pencils, I bet you can guess, they were definitely number two pencils. Once we were all settled, the guidance counselor read some directions out of a manual and we were instructed to break the seal on the booklet with our pencil. We were told to open to the first section, we were read some more directions, and then told the time limit for this section and what to do if we got done early. We had to bring a library book with us, and so we were supposed to read our library book if we got done. And then this was repeated for several different sections. I don't recall all of the sections, but I know that there was vocabulary, grammar, comprehension, and some calculation and problem solving, very similar to the same sections that we have on today's test. But what I don't remember is any stress. Not on my part, not on the teacher's part. I guess it could have been there for the teachers, but I didn't pick up on anything. And there was never, ever a conversation in my household about doing my best on the state assessment. It just wasn't that big of a deal. My parents never talked to me about the results of my test. In fact, I'm not entirely sure that they ever were given the results of the test. And I would love to be able to go back and be a fly on the wall during those teachers' faculty meetings to see what their conversations were. What was the message from the principal? Was there one? Were the scores meaningful? Important? And what did they do with them? Did they hold kids back based on them? Were teachers told their jobs depended on the outcome that 22 8-year-olds could produce? I tell you all of this not because I think standardized tests have no value. They do serve a purpose in providing a snapshot of where a group of students stands academically at a certain point in time. But my reflection on this memory leads me to question the current climate in education surrounding these tests. Throughout my career, the importance of these tests has changed. When I first started teaching, they weren't all that important. And then they were. And we had huge assemblies pumping the students up to do their best. We were feeding them breakfast. We were making sure that they took it seriously and we were practicing for it. And then all of a sudden, the scores just didn't seem all that important again. And now it seems to be shifting back to we need to raise our test scores. The emphasis and the pressure put on standardized testing today seems so much more intense than when I was a student. And as a special educator, I have often wondered about the impact of this heightened stress on both teachers and students, especially students with special needs. Is it really necessary? Are we creating an environment where the focus is more on the test scores rather than the overall growth and learning of each student? How does this affect our students with IEPs? I wholeheartedly agree that we need to know what our students do and don't know. But is a one-time state assessment really going to tell us that information? My vote is no. And I polled my students who are taking my college class, and their vote is no. In fact, someone said it was their mission as a kid to do as poorly as possible on this test. But yet this kid is now in college? I guess that low score didn't affect them very much. My co-teachers and colleagues would agree with no. But alas, we still take them. Every single year, every single student. So instead of continuing to complain about having to take them, I want to give you some strategies for how to make the best of a bad situation. First, you need to familiarize your students with the testing format. Create a mock test environment for your classroom. This can involve arranging desks in the same manner as they will be during the test and using similar test booklets if your district still uses booklets, or use the practice digital versions that go along with your assessment. This will reduce the unfamiliarity and anxiety associated with a new testing environment, especially for students with anxiety or sensory processing issues. You want to make this seem as normal of a day as possible. Tip two is to teach test-taking strategies. The questions that are asked on a state assessment might be worded differently than what you ask within your daily instruction, so make sure that your students know what to look for and the language that might be used and how to highlight what the question is asking and then how to go back and search and find that answer within the text. You should also hold practice sessions focusing on specific strategies like process of elimination for multiple choice questions, or how to outline an essay answer, or how to read the answer choices before reading the passages. These sessions empower students, including those with executive functioning challenges, with tools to tackle different types of questions effectively. Tip number three is to use accommodations effectively. We have accommodations on our IEPs that can be used during the state testing situations. So ensure that each of your students' accommodations are not only in place, but that the student is comfortable using them. This may include practice sessions with a scribe, use of assistive technology, or familiarization with a separate testing location. Effective use of accommodations can level the playing field for students with disabilities, allowing them to fully demonstrate their knowledge. Tip number four is to address the test anxiety. Some students aren't going to feel that it's a stressful situation, but you are going to have some kids who have high anxiety during this time. So it's important to incorporate mindfulness activities, stress reduction exercises, or group discussions about test anxiety into the curriculum. Reducing anxiety can significantly improve test performance, particularly for students with anxiety disorders or autism spectrum disorders who may be more prone to test-related stress. I would have a station with some fidget toys so that they could just have one there at their seat. I would pull in their wobble chairs, or even if they have a stuffed animal from home that they want to bring to take the test with them, I would provide them that opportunity to have something in there with them that can reduce that stress. Tip number five is to maintain routine. Keep the days leading up to the test as normal as possible. This includes maintaining regular lesson plans, homework routines, and classroom activities. A consistent routine helps in reducing anxiety, and it provides a sense of security, especially important for students who rely on predictability, like those with autism. And this might need to happen next year, but I would make sure that practicing for the state assessment is part of your daily routine or your weekly routine or your monthly routine. Make sure that kids know what's expected of them and don't wait until the week before the test starts. Tip number six is to reinforce the value of their effort. Develop a classroom culture that values learning and effort over scores. Acknowledge improvements, efforts, and individual achievements regularly. This approach promotes a growth mindset where students are motivated to learn and improve rather than just perform. So you can do this with your district tests that are taken more regularly, and you can have them set goals where they are seeing that they are actually making progress. And then the state test just becomes another testing situation that they feel familiar with. And then tip number seven is post-test reflection. After the test, have a celebration. Yay, it's over. Talk to your students about how they did, how they felt about it. Facilitate a class discussion or have students write about their test experiences. Focus on what strategies they found helpful and what they might do differently next time. Reflection allows students to learn from their experiences and apply those lessons to future tests. And this fosters a continuous learning process. As educators, part of our role is to advocate for our students. So if you find that the testing conditions or the test itself are not appropriate for your students, bring these concerns to your administration or to your state's Department of Education. And remember, our goal as special education teachers is to support our students in developing their abilities and their confidence in testing situations and beyond. They're not always going to be taking a state assessment. So by implementing these strategies, we can help make the testing experience as positive and as productive as possible for our students, but we can also help them grow as individuals for future stressful situations and future life situations. In reflecting back on my own third grade experience, where state assessments were a mere routine rather than a high stress event, it's evident how much the educational landscape has changed. The strategies that I've shared aim to mitigate the intense pressure that now surrounds these tests, particularly for our students with special needs. And just as in my childhood, where the focus seemed more on learning and less on the outcome of a test, these strategies aim to bring a sense of balance and perspective back into testing. So by taking these steps or facilitating these strategies, one, familiarize students with the test format, two, teach them effective test-taking strategies, three, ensure proper use of accommodations, four, addressing test anxiety, five, maintaining a routine, six, reinforce the value of effort, and seven, facilitate post-test reflections. And by advocating for students, we are doing more than just preparing them for a test. We are equipping them with the skills and attitudes that will serve them well in all areas of life. The aim is not to make state assessments not a big deal, as they were in my third grade experience, but it's to approach these tests with a balanced perspective, where their importance doesn't overshadow the holistic development of our students. It's about creating an environment where tests are a part of learning and not the entirety of it. As a special education professional, your role extends beyond teaching curriculum. You are also there to instill confidence, resilience, and a love for learning in your students. So by applying these strategies, you can help your students navigate not only state assessments, but any challenges they may face with less stress and more success. So while the tangible number two pencils of our past may have been replaced with keyboards and computer screens, the underlying principles remain. It's about providing your students with the tools and support they need to succeed in life. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for sticking with me until the end. I can tell that you are just as dedicated to the field of special education as I am. If you liked what you heard today, I'd love it if you'd head over to spedprepacademy.com/podcast to check out the show notes and sign up to be notified each time a new episode airs. Go out and have an amazing day, and I'll catch you on the next episode.